I want to focus on Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. We'll be concentrating on that chapter today. I believe the Lord has been speaking to us in a mighty way the past couple of weeks, through our pastor and also through the message of Reverend Joseph Torres last week. And I just want to collaborate with that word that God has been speaking. I have read this into my spirit this week. I just want to share this with you on the topic, shifting from need to purpose. Shifting from need to purpose. And if you would accompany me and bow your heads for a moment, then we may pray that the Lord may guide us in everything that is said this afternoon. Father, we come before you humbly in the name of Jesus. We do not come, Lord, based on our strength or our ability. We come depending completely upon you. We ask that it be your spirit that speaks to us this afternoon in a mighty way. Show us, Lord, what you want us to know. Teach us, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that every word that is spoken be according to your will and purpose. That this church will not hear the voice of a man, but your voice. As with every Sunday, Lord, you speak to us because you love us. And you speak to us, Lord, to take us to your purpose and to your goals. So we ask, Lord, that today will not be an exception, Lord, but that you continue, Lord, where you have started. For the Lord says that you are powerful, Lord, to accomplish what you have begun in us. So we give you praise and honor today, Lord, and we open not only our eyes, but our hearts and our spirits, that the seed of the Lord will be sown into our lives, and we will bear fruit in Jesus' mighty name. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. And in Joshua chapter 5, just to give you a background, the people of Israel are on the verge of possessing what God had promised them from the time of Abraham. They're right on edge, they're right on the verge of being able to touch with their hands, see with their eyes, and being able to enjoy what those before them could not enjoy. They were about to see things they had heard of. They were about to experience a dream that their forefathers had always spoken to them about. You see, when God is about to do something in our lives, He always challenges us to go through transformative processes before He lays in our hands what He would have us to administer. Because many times when we are waiting for God to change our circumstances, God is really wanting to change us. If we lose sight of that fact, we will have blessings that we will not know how to administer. And the people of Israel were on the verge of possessing the land, but this was a new generation. And because it was a new generation, they had not gone through what their forefathers had gone through in Egypt. Their forefathers in Egypt had gone through slavery. They had gone through hardships, oppression. They had gone through many circumstances that they had told their children about. But one thing is to speak it, another thing is to live it. The children had gone through the experience of the wilderness. And because of unbelief for 40 years, they were just twirling around in the desert, passing by the same places, repetitive experiences, and for 40 years they were going nowhere fast. Now I don't know if anybody in here can say amen to this, but I can say that there have been times or seasons in my life where I have felt that I'm moving, but I'm going nowhere fast. I have a treadmill at my house. I'm going to shake the dust off of it in the name of Jesus and use it. But that treadmill has an indicator of how many miles you walk. And the funny thing about it is you can spend half an hour on it, and it will indicate that you have walked 2 miles or 3 miles, yet when you turn the thing off, you're still in the same room. Movement without vision. I wish somebody would help me this morning. Movement without vision or purpose will get us nowhere. If you're going to move, you've got to know where you're going to, where you're headed. And you've got to have the directions. You have to have your GPS working great so that you don't just move and end up going nowhere. Now, for 40 years, they have moved, but they did not have God's blessing to enter into Canaan, because what God needed for Israel to experiment was the death of unbelief. God cannot glorify himself in our lives when we have belief issues. You don't have to be a theologian to believe. You don't have to have a doctorate in divinity, whatever that may be, in order to believe. All you have to have is faith as the grain of a mustard seed. Simple faith. Just transition from having to see all the time to just believing without seeing. And that's what God is glorified, because then he says, I can now trust you. You don't have to see to believe. Now the interesting thing about it is that now this generation is about to enter into Canaan land, but God needed them to have a shift of mentality. Because their forefathers, what they did is they saw God as an ATM. They just saw him as something that they could access in order to receive what they needed. But God needed them to have a shift in mindset from need to purpose. Just from seeing God as someone that can go to any time of need, and he is a God that supplies your needs. But we need to remember, beloved, that God is a God of purpose. Somebody say purpose. Tell somebody, you know, they get upset with you, tell them purpose. Because everything he does and everything that he says has a purpose. Amen. He does not speak without purpose. He does not operate without purpose. Everything he does, everything he says has a purpose behind it. And I would like to use the Spanish version of purpose to illustrate something to you. In Spanish, the word purpose is propósito. It comes from two different terminologies. Pro means before or ahead, and positive, it means to position. So it means something that is positioned in front of you or ahead of you. It's a sign, it's a marker of where you should be and where you're supposed to go. Purpose will never be behind you. Purpose is always ahead of you. You cannot walk forwards looking backwards. So somebody today, in Jesus' name, I challenge you to please forget the past. Stop dwelling on the past. Stop lamenting over the past. Stop living in the past, because you cannot walk forwards looking backwards. Purpose is always ahead, not behind. Forget the former things and walk ahead in Jesus' name. So the purpose of God for the children of Israel was ahead of them. They had to forget the former things and step into God's purpose for their future. But they needed to go through a transformative experience in the mind. And man, I'd be bold in saying to you, sometimes the greatest challenge in our lives is not our fight with the devil. The devil was defeated at the cross. And when we walk in that reality, we will also experience that same victory that Jesus experienced. Because the Bible says that he has placed the enemy under the feet of the church. That's something he already did. We have to walk in that reality. But the greatest challenge many times is not our fight against the enemy, it's the fight between our 2 ears. Somebody help me preach in here, please. The fight between our 2 ears. What's in your mind? As a man thinks, we may be 21st century, as a woman thinks, so is she. As a man thinks, so is he. What you think about will dominate how you speak, how you act and where you're headed. Ask somebody, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? Your dominant thought will become your dominant behavior. That's why the Bible challenges us. In Colossians chapter 3, we don't have to put it up there. But Colossians 3 says, if you have resurrected with Christ, you should look on the things that are from above. Which means that the believer has to have a changed mindset. If we're going to experience the triumphs of God, if we're going to walk in the glory that has been predestined for us, if we're going to walk in victory, our mindset has got to change. You can't have stinking thinking and expect a move of God in your life. You've got to switch gears, switch how you think, switch how you see, switch how you talk, and then you will see what you have heard. Somebody say amen. I don't want to just hear about what he did in the past. He can do it now as well. He's the same God, the same power, the same purpose, the same ability. But I've got to change the way I think in order to see that today as my generations before me saw it in their day. So they're right there on the verge. I believe that this church is on the verge of the next level. On the verge of the next dimension. You believe it with me, say amen. Amen. But just as they're on the verge of a next dimension move, the Lord tells Joshua, there is something that this generation has not experienced that I commanded Abraham to do. They're having a wonderful time, but they have not been circumcised. And circumcision was the sign of the Abrahamic covenant. Every covenant in the Bible has a sign attached to it. The covenant with Noah, the sign was a rainbow. The covenant with Abraham was the circumcision. The covenant with Moses was the tablets of the law. Covenant with David was the throne. And the covenant with Christ was the blood. Every covenant has a sign. And the reason that God wanted for Abraham to circumcise every young boy from the Hebrew nation, being 8 days old, somebody said, well, that's cruel, God. Why would you want an infant to go through that pain 8 days into his existence in the world? Well, actually, that shows God's mercy. Because even though the child goes through that pain, it doesn't remember it. Because their conscience is not developed yet. Conversely, when a man goes through the same experience, you hear them more. So God wanted to minimize the memory of pain by doing it at the right stage. Somebody say the right stage. And the right stage is infancy. See, circumcision was not about the physical pain. It was just a physical indicator of a spiritual reality. That if we are to walk with God, so you gotta give up something. Oh, somebody will help me. We have got to give up something in order to walk with God. It costs us to walk with God. There's something that you love so much and that I have loved so much that when we came to the cross, we saw what Christ endured for us. We saw the blood that he shed. I'm speaking in spiritual dimensions here. We learned of what he went through. He gave it all up to give his life for me. Now I'm going to give it all up. And some things are easier to give up than others. Yes. There are some things that are not attached to us when we're born and we can give up easily, but what about those things that are part of our character or personality, of our genetic disposition? And it's there with you from the beginning, and when you want to take that character and put it at the feet of the cross and give it up, and be spiritually circumcised and give up pleasure for purpose. Somebody help me here. Pleasure without purpose is dangerous. That's a nice poem if you ever want to write one down. pleasure without purpose is dangerous. I'm a little bit worried about our current state here in America, because pleasure seems to be the focus of our country. It's all about having a good time. That's wonderful, but you don't get anywhere just by having fun. We have to get serious in some issues in our lives if we're going to set ourselves up for future prosperity. I'm talking about in all levels. If all you do is joke on your job, your boss won't be too happy with you. If all you do is joke at school, your teacher won't be happy with you. There's a time for everything, Solomon said. And pleasure is not wrong as long as it's between the lines of how God defines pleasure. Otherwise, you don't have to put this up, but Genesis 38 speaks of a man named Onan who was supposed to leave descendants to his brother. His brother dies, and it's the law of the culture for the brother to then marry the widow, but the descendants would come for his brother, not for him. He knew this. So the Bible says that when he came into Tamar, when they got together, he spilled the manly seed on the ground. Now, what that tells me is pleasure without purpose. Come on, somebody in here, don't get squeamish on me now. Pleasure without purpose. You're having a good time, but you're not producing anything. Help us, Lord, that we do not become a church that has a good time, but we're not producing anything. For Jesus says, you did not call me, I called you that you might bear fruit. We have to have purpose, and we have to produce. Tell somebody, even if they get upset and tell them, it's time to start producing. It's time to start producing. Christianity is not about how much I know. It's not about how much I can speak. It's about what I produce. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the Lord told them, circumcise this generation. Let them go through the pain. Let them remember what it costs to walk with me, because that's going to be your identity. And the Bible says that Joshua, he sharpened knives. Yes. Exactly, Pastor. Ouch. He says, all young men, all of those of you who are older, come over here. Because before you get to the promised land, you've got to be circumcised. And they went through it. They bled. It hurt. Because obedience hurts. Obedience will cause bleeding. But when you get done with the process, there will be a glory that you did not have before. For the Bible says that when they had all healed from the process, man ceased and they were able to have a feast. Another point for you. Man ceased and they were able to have a feast. You cannot enjoy your walk with God until you've been circumcised. I wish somebody would help me back to him. You cannot enjoy your walk with God. You can praise, you can worship, you can pray, you can read. But until you have been circumcised in your heart, until you have given up everything for Jesus as he has given up everything for you, you will not be able to enjoy the dimensions of the Spirit. I challenge you today in Jesus' name that in any area of our lives that we have not submitted to the Lord, that we say, Lord, circumcise my heart until I'm able to give it all up to you as you gave up everything for me, and that you may receive the glory in my life. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. God saw the process, and they had to go through a process of restoration. Because walking with God does hurt. And God is so mindful of you and I that he allows us to be healed not only spiritually, but also emotionally. Until we're ready to take the next step into what he will have us to do. And then he says, the Lord, immediately, once they go through the process of healing, now manna ceases. See, the manna was an everyday experience. Please fasten your seatbelts. Manna was provided for them the evening, God sent quails and fed them. That's a lovely life, isn't it? You get up in the morning, breakfast is already served. You get ready for dinner, dinner is already served. They needed to eat in the morning, and they needed to eat in the evening. And God gave them both. Lunch, I think that's another story. See, they needed a place to go. God already had Canaan land. And they needed provision. God gave it to them. But once they went through the process of healing from the circumcision experience, God said, enough is enough. Because I'm going to take you to a place where you're not going to have breakfast served for you. And dinner will not be served for you. If you want to eat, you got to go get it. So now, they walk into the land and they see all this wonderful food available. Fruits and vegetables, the crops were ready to be picked. And now, there's no angel from heaven come down to pick the crops for them. Everything was available, but they had to go get it. Someone's going to get mad at you, but tell them, you got to go get it. Yes, yes, yes. Please don't adopt an entitlement mentality. Amen. I'm not speaking political wise, so I'm not blue and I'm not red either. I'm not a donkey, I'm not an elephant. I'm a sheep. We're sheep. Nothing but sheep in here. Somebody say amen. Amen. Nothing but sheep in here. Yes, yes, you have to go get it. Because in God, you have to be radical. There are things he will do for you and things he will do through you. And those that he will do through you, you got to participate in it. So there are things we got to go after. The things we have to pursue. Blessing and mercy will follow us according to Psalms 23. But we've got to pursue peace with all men. And we've got to pursue holiness. Hebrews chapter 12. So those things that we have to pursue in order to be able to receive them. So now they've got to go from an everyday survival mentality mode to an everyday, let me go seek what's already for me mode. And the manna ceased, and now they have everything available. And just when they're about to focus their eyes on Jericho, Joshua has an experience. Now see, God is not a changer of character. When I say that, it means his character is immutable. He's the same. He will always be the same. But his manifestation is not always the same. And if we expect for the Lord to do encores in our life in a repetitive mode, we will miss the things that he does in our lives. Because he may bless you in a way that you have never thought before. And when it comes in a way that you were not expecting, you say, that can't be God. And he says, yes, it's me. It's still me. It's still me. Because he had told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. But Moses had some experiences on Sinai that Joshua never had. The things that Moses saw, Joshua never saw. The Lord never told Joshua, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass before you. I'm going to place my hands over you. I will pass before you. And when I remove my hand, you will see my hinder parts. Another translation said, you will see my back, but you will not see my face, for no man will see me and live. Joshua never had that experience. Joshua did not have an experience with the burning bush. There are many things that God showed Moses that he never showed Joshua, and yet God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, I shall be with you. If you get too literal, you would say, when God did not fulfill his promise. Yes, he did. He was with Joshua just as he was with Moses. But the difference in experience, it means that each one of us has a personal relationship and experience with God, and we cannot compare ourselves to each other to measure where we are. We need to get frustrated when we compare ourselves to other people. Well, Lord, you gave her a vision. Why can't you give me a vision? Well, you give him experience. Why didn't you give me? Because God deals with us in a different way. And you've got to get accustomed to the way he deals with you, because he knows what you need. And many times, it's not about what you and I want. It's about what you and I need, according to the purpose that God has with each and every one of us. So he told Joshua, I'm going to be with you just as I was with Moses. And here comes an experience in Joshua chapter 5. Joshua's setting his focus on Jericho. It was the first city that they had to conquer, and the biggest one of them all. If they got through that, the rest is history. And you may be facing a Jericho situation. It looks big. It looks scary. But if you can get through this, the rest is history. And as he's focusing on Jericho, here comes someone. Now this is not a vision, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a supernatural experience. This is not an out-of-body experience. This is not a revelation type experience. The book of Revelation. No, no, no. This is something Joshua saw with his eyes. Here comes a man with a sword in his hand, outside of the sheath. And Joshua did not know who he was. And Joshua got ready. See, Joshua was a warrior. Moses was a meek and humble and self-controlled man. Joshua was a warrior, but that's what God needed. Moses was not going to fight the battles to possess the land. It was Joshua that was going to do it. And Joshua is ready to go. And Joshua asks him, are you on our side or are you on the enemy's side? Who do you belong to? And the man answers, I have come as a captain of the host of the Lord. Another translation says, I have come as the prince of the armies of the Lord. Now that wasn't just anybody there. I'm going to show it to you theologically in just about 30 seconds. That was not just anyone that went to visit Joshua. Because as soon as Joshua heard these words, he says, what does my Lord say unto his servant? And he is where God fulfilled the promise that he gave to Joshua, where as I was with Moses, I shall be with you. Take the sandals off your feet, for where the place you are standing is holy ground. That's the same thing that Moses heard at the burning bush. And it was the same God speaking to Joshua as he was spoken to Moses. It wasn't the same manifestation, but it was the same God. Anybody ready for something new? Raise your hands with me if you agree with me. I'm ready for something new from God. God is not a God of routine. God is not a God of religiosity. He will do new things. The Lord says, hereby I do a new thing in your life. You're waiting for a new from God, but it's not going to look like what you've seen before. Catalyst is waiting for a new from God, but it's not going to be anything that we have seen before. It's something new that he is about to do. And if we just shift our mentality, we'll be able to not only walk in it, but touch it. And you have a testimony on our lips of a new thing that God will have done in our lives. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord this day. We're about to close, but Joshua worshipped him. You don't worship an angel. That's forbidden. We don't worship people. We may be impressed by them, but we can't worship them. There's only one that's worthy of worship. Amen. Praise, glory, and honor, and recognition. It's the Lord God. He's the God of Israel. He's the God of the church as well. The same God. This is what's called in theology a theophany. A manifestation of God. Some say that it is a precursor to the Word being made flesh. It's the Word of God being manifest in a visible way in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ. Now it's very interesting that when Joshua has his experience, it causes them to have a conscientiousness of identity. Here's where I'm going to close. The people needed a place to go. The people needed provision. The people needed identity. And in one chapter, God gives them entry. He says, I have a land for you. It's there before you. It's all's Lord. Yes, go get it. I have now switched you from survival mode day by day. You have milk and honey flowing. All you gotta do is just get over and get it. Provision is there. The place is there. Number three, identity. My presence is with you. You have been circumcised. You have now assumed the identity of my people. Because I want you to be different. See, God is daring us to be different. We cannot fall into complacency. God's people will always be different. You may have to be persecuted by being different, but that's okay. Because there's something good about being different. You don't have to feel the status quo. We can be comfortable in being who God called us to be. Amen? They set their eyes on Jericho. And all they had to do was obey the commands of God. And it was all theirs. Now, I just want to close with Romans 12:2. Amanda, if you could put that up, I would greatly appreciate it. Romans 12:2. This is a very important verse. Because God has everything ready. He's got everything ready. He's just waiting on us. Because Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world. Be not adapted. I don't know if I told the story before, but I just want to illustrate it real quick. Please don't want to get scared, but I wear size 14 shoes. Hopefully we'll never step on anybody's toes in here. But one day I went to pay the shoe source. They're not paying me anything to say that, but I remember I could not find the size, so I was in a very dire situation. I needed shoes for that night. I don't think it was size 13. I'm like, well, this is all it is, and I have to buy it. And when I put my feet in it, it felt so tight. And I was walking uncomfortably. But about after 2 weeks, I noticed that they were now comfortable. They began in size 13 and made them size 14. I obligated them. I forced them. I commanded them in Jesus' name. But it's because it was not my foot that conformed to the shoe. It was the shoe that had to conform to my foot. The church can't conform to the world. It's the world that has to be conformed to the church. Because God has placed you and I as a standard on how all humanity should live. That's a great responsibility, but it's a blessing at the same time. And so, be not conformed to this world, be transformed. And one translation means that you have to transform your mind. God's not going to do it for you. This shift in mindset that we're talking about, we've got to do it. We've got to refocus. I have to go ahead and switch my mindset from a need mindset to a purpose mindset. It says, but in the name of your mind, that you may prove, test God's will. It's good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. It's good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. We will not be able to see that until our mindset is changed. Because God's going to take us through some experiences, or some things to the natural eye, they may not look good, They may not seem good, but when we change our mindset, we say, oh yes, it's very good. Doesn't matter what I lost. It doesn't matter the pain. Doesn't matter anything else. It's good. It's pleasing. It's perfect. God's purpose for you is good and pleasing and it's perfect. God's purpose for Catalyst is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. When our minds are changed, we'll be able to see that. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord. That we undergo, Lord, a psychological transformation as never before. Lord, because when we walk in purpose, we don't sweat the small things. Any interruption along the way, we will see it as an opportunity for you to be glorified. We will see it as an opportunity for you to show something of yourself to us that we may not have seen before. Lord, those who walk in purpose are activated. The purpose named, the purpose driven. We're not just thinking a little about what we want to do for us, but what you want us to do for others. Help us, Lord, as we enter in just about 35 to 36 days, if you allow us to enter into 2018, Lord. And may we walk into the next year with a right mindset. Help us see things as you see them. Help us to realize things the way you realize them, Lord. That we may come to our joy, the midst of our sorrow, the midst of our tears, the midst of our pain, even those things, Lord, that we lay aside for the glory of Christ. We may come to all his joy, for there is a purpose behind it. We may not see in the short run, but we will see in the long run. And the steps of a good man are ordered by God. We give you thanks for the trust in you. We give you peace in our hearts. We grant you have strength in our hearts. Because we know that you are in control of everything. We praise you in Jesus' mighty and righteous name. And we give you thanks.